Ukrainians, Identity and Dignity podcast is on the air. It's been 8 months since Russia's full-fledged invasion of Ukraine. Throughout all these months, Ukrainians have been gaining more power, more recognition, more success on the front line, but more preciously, more faith in their victory. With this episode, you will see how Ukraine advances in the informational, diplomatic, and military realms. At the same time, we will cover why these advances are equivalent to Russia's inevitable failure. Since the beginning of the Russian full-scale invasion, the armed forces of Ukraine have deoccupied more than 1,600 settlements. As of October 7th, 2,434 square kilometers of Ukrainian land, including 96 settlements, have already been liberated due to the counter-offensive started in September. An offensive operation is underway in the Kherson region. As Financial Times put it, Kherson could be liberated anytime from mid-November. Here is what the head of the Joint Coordination Press Center of the Defense Forces of Southern Ukraine, Natalia Humanyuk, says about it.
The course of events is under our control. We continue to liberate the territories, we continue to push back the enemies in the Kherson region, where they are changing their defensive lines to the deeper ones, to those that were arranged earlier throughout all these 7 months with the help of reinforced concrete structures. Therefore, it may seem that our progress has slowed down, but it is simply calculated properly.
How does Ukraine advance in the diplomatic field? During the recent meeting held in Ramstein format, the format implying the military assistance given by the international countries to Ukraine, Kyiv's partners promised it more weaponry. Germany claimed it would hand over new self-propelled howitzers and MARS-2 missiles launchers, the Netherlands the additional anti-aircraft missiles to strengthen air defense, and Canada is to help Ukraine with artillery shells, winter clothing, and drone cameras. Another sign of the success in diplomacy is the creation of the European Political Community, an intergovernmental forum for political and strategic discussions of leaders from all European continent. The initial summit of EPC was held in October 2022 in Prague with 44 European countries participating, as well as the presidents of the European Council and the European Commission. The purpose of this platform is to ensure a coordinated policy of European countries to strengthen Europe and its prosperity, especially in context of Russian-triggered war in Ukraine.
We are fighting in Europe to maintain the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine for the return of peace to our continent,
said Emmanuel Macron during the meeting of the European Political Community. For 9 years, Russia desperately tried to block Ukraine's membership in the EU. With the start of an all-out war in February 2022, it hoped that the European society would step back from supporting Ukraine. Instead, the opposite happened. Ukraine, together with Moldova, was granted EU candidate status. Majority of European society supports Ukraine. A multi-country survey found that most of EU citizens approve the delivery of weapons to Ukraine, 60%, welcoming Ukrainian refugees, 81%, and making Ukraine the EU member, 66%. Currently, Ukraine still has a long way to becoming a legal part of the EU, but with its determination and commitment, Ukraine will make it. Such results are the fruit of the work of Ukrainian diplomats, the powerful information front, and daily small but tangible victories. And every such victory of Ukraine is a defeat for Russia. In order to somehow justify its losses, Russia resorts to the acts of despair.
Yeah.
I consider it necessary to support the proposal of the Ministry of Defense and the General Staff about carrying out partial mobilization.
It is September 21st. Vladimir Putin sits at the same desk as in February before invading Ukraine. While announcing the invasion, he sounded pathetic but determined. Now pathetic and scared. He aggressively holds another pseudo-historic speech stating that the collective West is going to destroy the Russian world. Therefore, a mobilization of men into the army is needed. Just after the speech, a panic broke out in Russia. Officially, 300,000 men had to be conscripted. However, numbers might reach over a million. Nothing like this has ever happened since the World War II. Many people fled Russia, making their country a giant mess. Recruitment offices were set on fire. Some officers got shot by citizens. But following the long-standing Russian tradition of political passiveness, Russians swallowed everything.
This is not a bluff.
Closer to the end of the mobilization speech, Putin made the ultimate threat. Although any country ever threatened Moscow with nuclear attack, Russia's president claimed that the West is ready to do so. As a response, Putin said he will retaliate. Although it might be a bluff, the global community takes it seriously and is showing a united stance and a clear position. A bit later, on September 23-27, the Russian Federation organized pseudo-referendums in the temporarily occupied territories of the Kherson, Zaporizhia, Luhansk and Donetsk regions of Ukraine and called Kyiv to negotiate. Yet, Russia's readiness for negotiations is fictional and only a cover for armed aggression. Why? Because the Russian-occupied territories are semi-destroyed, people there are simply trying to survive, get threatened if they attempt to resist. We have covered how the occupation has been unfolding in numerous Ukrainian corners in our recent episodes. The first deputy chairman of the Kherson Regional Council describes the pseudo-referendum as follows.
They actually caught people on the streets, in the entrances, went around the houses and flats, tried to get them to open the doors and take part in this farce. We all understand that the occupiers draw a turnout of around 70-75%. I think that this will be the result of the vote.
Russia's recent act of despair occurred on the 10th of October, the largest rocket attack since the beginning of the Russia's all-out offensive happened entering Ukrainian airspace from the north, east and south borders. The day was eerily similar to the 24th of February, but Ukrainians were not afraid anymore. No matter how hard Putin and his regime tried to make the situation worse for Ukraine, it still doesn't get better for Russia. Its desperate actions only encourage the international community to help Ukraine more decisively. First, after the pseudo-referendums, international support for Ukraine increased. Sanctions were strengthened and many countries promised additional financial assistance. The USA alone will provide a new aid package worth $625 million. The United Nations also played their role. The General Assembly adopted a resolution condemning Russian pseudo-referendums and only five countries voted against it. Russia, Belarus, North Korea, Nicaragua, Syria. It all speaks for Russia's baseness in international law and its high democratic international supporters. Second, the Russian mobilization failed too. Besides large numbers of people escaping the country, Russia won't manage to provide the hundreds of thousands of new conscripts with bare necessities. The Russian state only gives the mobilized an old AK-74 Kalashnikov assault rifle. After all, those unmotivated conscripts will inevitably end up in graves. Third, if Russia triggers a nuclear escalation, it will not stay unanswered. The US announced that it would not distinguish between the use of tactical or strategic nuclear weapons. The world's retaliation will be strong.
It'll be consequential. They'll become more of a pariah in the world than they ever have been. And depending on the extent of what they do, will determine what response would occur.
And lastly, after the recent massive rocket attacks, the world is scrambling to provide Ukraine with new modern air defense systems. Germany has already delivered the first out of the four promised Iris-T machines. At this moment, not even the German Bundeswehr has them, but the Iris-T are already securing Ukraine's sky. Russia is doomed, and everyone understands it, except for maybe Russia. Ukraine, on the contrary, wins on all fronts – military, diplomatic, and informational. Ukrainians believe in their country. They are united among themselves and want nothing but to overcome this path together. And this is Ukraine's main national victory. Get to know more about the Chronicles of Ukrainian Resistance and keep track of the news from the Ukraine's battlefield. We invite you to follow our media project Identity and Dignity on Instagram. Don't you want to know more about the world's democracy triumph over the biggest dictatorship in 21st century? After all, the light side always wins. Slava Ukraini!